I think the headwinds for most, again, I say chief appraiser, appraisal manager interchangeably. I think the headwinds are limited resources, you know, budget, limited visibility. We talked about that as far as are they viewed as a cost center, their regulatory pressure. And that's another aspect of having a platform. If a reviewer comes in or a regulatory person comes in and starts asking questions, where is this report, that report is easily accessible. And the lack of peer connection. So those are probably the four broad things that I think are a challenge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Jeff Hicks. Jeff is the co-founder and COO of RealWired, one of the driving forces behind UConnect, an appraisal workflow and vendor management platform serving financial institutions across the United States. Jeff brings decades of experience in commercial real estate valuation and financial technology. Over the course of his career, he has built and scaled industry-defining platforms, including DataComp, which is now one of the top commercial comparable databases in the country. His work has consistently focused on improving transparency, efficiency, and control within the appraisal and valuation process. At RealWired, Jeff leads operational strategy, product evolution, enterprise client success, and brand direction. His philosophy is disciplined and direct. Listen deeply, reduce friction, and deliver measurable value to his clients. In an industry where complexity is the norm, Jeff's approach centers on clarity, execution, and tangible outcomes, helping banks manage risk effectively and make more loans with confidence. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Lindsay. I think we're done. That's a lot of words. Thank you.
Yes. So while I am super pumped about our conversation today and the subject that we're going to get into here at Banking Matters, we always like to hear how our guests got started working with financial institutions.
Yeah, I think my journey started off as a commercial appraiser. Back in the day, did kind of a normal route becoming a commercial appraiser in the Tampa Bay market and started our own firm, my wife and I. And after maybe 20 years ago, we bought a small software company and accidentally became entrepreneurs, creating software, supporting it, coding it, selling it, marketing it. So that was the original genesis back in the day with DataComp. And more recently, UConnect is our enterprise appraisal platform that you mentioned. And that was designed specifically with a bank customer of ours. That's how we got into the banking section of valuation, where they weren't happy with the legacy platform and they wanted to redesign a platform that had workflow that aligned with how a chief appraiser at their bank runs their appraisal department. So that was our introduction to the valuation space, specifically with chief appraisers in banks.
That is awesome. And I always love hearing how people get their start simply because usually you start over here and where you end up, it's just really cool to see how life and experiences and changes can take you places that you probably never expected to be.
Definitely. And I think the transition between a professional services as an appraiser and into an entrepreneur transition, that is a big jump. It's interesting. It's a very big jump, but it's been fun. It's been a fun ride.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to jump into really starting with the fact that I know you've seen kind of both sides of things now that you've gotten more into working from the bank perspective. So what insight do you have as far as that workflow pattern goes? Have you been able to bring any experience and knowledge from existing as a chief appraiser and doing that into the side now that you've seen it from the bank side and worked with them?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think when you see workflow without a platform, the workflow, it defaults to basically Office 365. You email, you have Excel spreadsheets, and you try to manage it. And I think it's not really based on bank asset size, but it's the number of real estate loans. We do commercial and residential. We primarily designed for commercial, but many of our banks use it for residential as well. But typically, I would say maybe you're 40, 50 deals a month. And that's where the wheels of workflow, trying to use Office 365, they just kind of come off. If you miss a few deals, your RM is going to be not so happy when you ask, you know, where is that appraisal? And it was ordered 3 weeks ago, but it fell through the cracks because there wasn't a dashboard to see all the work in progress. So as we worked with more and more chief appraisers, you start to realize the pressure they get from the RMs, the lenders. Where's the appraisal? Why is it taking so long? You know, the documents back and forth, the review externally, the, you know, selecting the vendors, selecting the fee appraisers that actually bid on the assignments, the back and forth with the lenders. Here's the appraisal fee. Let's engage the appraiser. Let's submit the documents. So all that workflow, you understand that there's a lot to the workflow, including surveys, environmental, and whatever else might be part of the transaction. And it's interesting to see appraisal departments from a smaller, let's say, community bank, as they, again, depending on how much workflow they have, they need some type of platform so they can visually see this is all the appraisals and process in one single view.
Yes, and I can say strictly because I work mainly from the compliance perspective of things, the procedures are what we look at. We know how things need to happen and when they need to happen, but when a bank has that process down pat and a solid, solidified way to track and keep up with it, it makes my life so much easier, and definitely paints a clearer path from start to finish so that there are no questions about when things happen and you're more guaranteed to make sure that nothing has fallen through the cracks because there are so many moving pieces.
Yes, and on the other side of that, you know, you mentioned business outcomes and removing friction. That really is kind of one of my hot buttons because that's, you know, software can be software, but when it's designed well, with the workflow aligns with how people actually work. So instead of not making a mistake or things falling, reports or loans falling through the cracks, you actually have the opposite end, which is you're efficient, you're meeting your SLAs, you actually know what your service level agreements should be, that you can do reporting up to your boss that, hey, this is how we're running our department. Here's our efficiencies. Here's how many reviews this reviewer did. You can really go the opposite direction and not struggle to manage. And the opposite side is we have a well-run appraisal department and here's the reporting to prove it.
Yeah, and I love nothing more than a good report, especially with the stats to back it up. It really does make things a lot more simpler. And especially, I always talk about teachers, and especially in math, they want you to show your work. When I'm talking to examiners and I'm bringing up anything, any bank that I work with, my thing is always, you need to be prepared to show your work. You can't have a statement without the support to back it up. And so kind of pivoting off that a little bit, as far as, and which I know this is not specifically where you've had to delve into, but in regards to reconsideration of value, have you had any insight or a different type of view, point of view, especially from a chief appraiser point of view as to utilizing or considering with reconsideration of value?
Sure. So the word ROV just means reconsider. It doesn't mean the appraiser or the bank needs to change what they've done. And I think it's a struggle to push-pull. Is the ROV coming from the lender? Maybe a property was appraised a year ago and it came in much lower than 12 months prior. Oftentimes it comes from the borrower. And I think the balance is on the chief appraiser side, if you get an ROV, you should have a process to follow that you're doing it properly and that it's not, you're not just changing the report or ignoring it. You just really have to have a process to say, okay, did this appraisal go through the correct process of being reviewed? You know, sometimes, oftentimes you review the review to make sure, okay, we're sending it to certain appraisers. If you're a smaller bank, you might be sending this a lot of work to a very small group of appraisers, and maybe you have one reviewer. And sometimes it might be, you might want a fresh view of somebody that's outside of a smaller circle But again, it gets back to a process that, you know, you're following. The caveat would be that if a borrower is asking for an ROV just because they just want a higher value, and that's unfortunate that the chief appraiser has to react, can't just look at the appraisal saying, it looks fine, the review is fine, there's nothing here. They still have to put the work in and go through the process, which is unfortunate, but it's just a process.
Absolutely. And I know that's been something that banks have kind of grasped as to how to make sure that they are complying with the regulations around it. And then the flux of, are we doing ROV? Are we not? Is it implied? Is it suggested? Is it required? That's been a large conversation over the last year and a half, especially for the smaller banks, which most of my banks are, that I get to deal with on a daily basis. So it's not been a practice that we had. Really thinking through and deciding, okay, how are we going to handle this? Looking at kind of the, just the steps and procedures that we needed to have in place in case the customer did have a request to look at their valuation again.
And I also think it gets back to the review, not necessarily the ROV, but just the initial review. And for smaller banks, they may outsource the review. It may be somebody internally that's reviewing the reports that may or may not be an appraiser. It could be the C-suite. I worked with a bank where the president actually reviewed the appraisals just because each loan was important to them, especially if it's a sizable loan, where it can be a common sense type of analysis, going through the appraisals, saying, okay, I'm not maybe a licensed appraiser, but I have these questions, these concepts seem inconsistent, or I see some typos, or help walk me through these issues.
Absolutely. And so how often do you see banks, after they do that internal review, if they have noted some of those deficiencies that you just rattled off, like how common is it as a chief appraiser to get those questions back? Do you value that open line of communication in regards to the work that has been done?
I don't have stats to say of ROVs, how many end up with a value change. Mm-hmm. I think the majority would be nothing changes because, again, they vet their appraisers and very specifically on competency geographically and competency on property type. And if they have good reviewers, typically there's not going to be much of a disconnect. Is there an issue? It's typically going to be caught by the reviewers. And if there's any revisions, you know, what's in the bank's files, it should be pretty solid consistently. It really should be.
Awesome. And so I know that you are involved with the not-for-profit that works with banks. Do you want to jump in and kind of tell us about that?
Sure. So since chief appraisers are our clients with our appraisal platform, which is called UConnect, we decided that, or we saw an opportunity of an absence of education specifically for chief appraisers. There's other organizations, but about 3 years ago, we decided to create FIBA, Financial Institution Valuation Advisors. The acronym is FIBA, and the website's FIBA1.com. It was designed for education, peer connection, and leadership development, because oftentimes there's not a room for appraiser-specific education. There is, again, other organizations, but we're not necessarily trying to compete with anybody else. We thought we'd take a fresh look at chief appraisers that they have a lot of responsibility and they often don't get kudos. So we start off with each of our meetings talking about the first word we use is elevate, because chief appraisers are important. You know, if they're in a smaller bank, maybe you call them appraisal managers. But if you consider the dollar amount of commercial real estate or real estate in general in the U.S., it's massive. So to have an appraisal manager, I do think that department does need some elevation. Again, they are often viewed as a cost center, but I think they can be run as efficient, meeting their SLAs, addressing the risk management of a bank. So it's not necessarily the platform that just allows them to do their job better and better. But I really think there was a void in the marketplace of elevating chief appraisers and giving them a safe place to learn new things. For some reason, I'm the default education chair. I'm not sure how that happened. But I like to sneak in some leadership training. And I say sneak just because appraisal managers often don't feel like they're necessarily in leadership. But if you have a team of 2 people, 10 people, you're a leader. I think it depends on how you show up. So we've been introducing some leadership courses. We do once a month Zoom call. We do a in-person. This year it's in Tampa, April 30th, May 1st. And again, it's to connect, but it's also to elevate. And it's interesting when you provide those two things. I do think because, again, they take a lot of responsibility and they don't get a lot of kudos, it really resonates. And our goal is to have 100 members, and I think we're at 115 or 120 chief appraisers. And generally, it's banks, I would say on average, maybe 800 million to maybe 80 billion is, I know it's a broad bucket, but.
So your company, I do agree that even from thinking about appraisals and all of that and the managing of it, I know from when I was in the bank, finding people that fully understood what the bank needed, what we're looking for, those kinds of things, and being able to grasp all of that and especially understand exactly, and also within the changing regulatory environment as to what the focus is on, what are we looking at, what is the bank really going to be considering when we are doing our reviews, what are we looking for, the timelines that we've got to meet. I know that that has been a large conversation, and I know like banks, they go out of their way to lunch and learns with like lawyers and title companies. But now that I'm thinking back through, there's not really been that type of connection with appraiser situations, especially chief appraiser. So how long have you been doing your not-for-profit?
Yeah, how long? We've had 5 up for 3 years.
Awesome. And you've already accomplished your goal, members.
Well, again, it's like you want to grow, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But we're looking to increase our membership, but also have more impactful education. Mm-hmm. This isn't just for, we're not doing it for funsies. We really think that the valuation industry in general, I write a lot of blogs and do podcasts, but it's really to elevate valuation in general, which includes the subset of chief appraisers.
Awesome. And so have you gotten feedback as to, you've talked about the education that you guys have done. Have you gotten feedback as to how beneficial it's been what has your focus been, I guess, in that?
It's funny you say that. So when we started it, we just had a broad mission. And looking up 3 years later, we've actually gotten feedback saying, and there's other members that are founding members, includes my wife, who's the co-founder of RealWired, that I'll hear this in person. I'll get some emails as well, but we get together with members. They say that FIBA is really moving the needle when it comes to appraisal managers and chief appraisers. And I kind of meet it with, seriously, really? Because to me, it seems like we're just putting on, we're doing our best to make it, again, to elevate the space. But they say, no, there really isn't appraiser-specific content that you guys are providing. There's broader risk management. There's broader topics. But you guys are very hyper-specific on anything to make a chief appraiser perform well. You also provide. So, for example, we had a meeting typically every January. We have TREP, T-R-E-P-P. They do a fantastic economic forecast and market forecast for the year ahead. And we provide after the session, if you couldn't make the session, here's the slides, here's the information. We also have, let's say appraisal manager is new to the job and doesn't have much of a background and needs, how do you write an engagement letter? What's your policy on ROV? We put together some members saying, hey, could you help this other person out? They really are struggling with some of the aspects of their new position as an appraisal manager of a smaller bank.
That's awesome. One thing that I know just from my experience, in which I've done pretty much everything within a bank except for make a loan, the mentorship and having a network behind you that you can reach out to, because yes, banks are in competition, but we are all trying to go after and climb over all of the same hurdles. And so especially in spaces that banks quite just frankly consider just a cost center, being able to reach out and network so that you can find out how you accomplish those things. I know that your members find that invaluable for sure.
Yeah, I think the headwinds for most, again, I say chief appraiser, appraisal manager interchangeably. I think the headwinds are limited resources, budget, limited visibility. We talked about that as far as are they viewed as a cost center, their regulatory pressure. And that's another aspect of having a platform. If a reviewer comes in or a regulatory person comes in and starts asking questions, where's this report, that report is easily accessible, and the lack of peer connection. So those are probably the four broad things that I think are a challenge, because what's happened, you call for larger banks often as chief appraiser, but some aren't really feeling that they're in the C-suite anymore because they went remote work before there was remote work and, out of sight, out of mind. So we also are trying to elevate the leadership part to where the chief appraiser does need to show up as a valued C, it's got a C in it, chief appraiser to contribute to the bank and not just kind of be in the shadows, because that doesn't serve the department, it doesn't serve the visibility, and really doesn't serve the bank. I think as they take a more active role, especially with their RMs and improve the relationship, that there is less friction between lending and appraising, and it creates some more trust, and quite frankly, it's a quicker transaction where there's a communication back and forth as opposed to maybe some animosity or friction.
Absolutely. I'm always one for working relationships, making them, greasing that wheel, making sure that they go, because at the end of the day, accuracy and efficiency is what gets things done for sure. And so, Jeff, as we wrap up here at Banking Matters, we always like our guests to leave our listeners one piece of advice.
The thing that's always on my mind is AI, and not as it relates to just AI in a general sense. I think everybody's job is secure as far as FTEs, if you're talking about appraisers or reviewers. I take the angle, the mindset of AI as it relates to, we're given a tool that can be used in a lot of different ways. And in the valuation space, which I think is typical for a lot of other industries as well, you have different percentages. Some people that just hopes it goes away. Another segment would be, maybe I'll dabble with it a little bit, but I don't see it really going anywhere. Then you have another section of people that are interested, they're reading about it, they like it. And then there's a smaller group which is really leaning in and really curious as to say, how does AI make myself more efficient, more productive for my bank? And how do I show up to work using these tools to make myself better? Because I think AI shines a flashlight on employees that it's really about productivity. It's not tech per se. So matter of fact, at our company, if somebody is not at least AI proficient and uses it 3-4 hours a day, they're probably not going to be a good hire for us. Just because it shows their curiosity of productivity, it just happens to be AI. So my little takeaway is, lean into the curiosity, learn to be more efficient. Don't get so wrapped up about the tool itself. Is it this tool or that tool? No, it's more about productivity and how you can be more efficient.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jeff. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.